All right, welcome back to the Jag Bros podcast. This week we're going to be breaking down the Atlanta game in London coming up this Sunday at 9:30 Eastern. I'm one of your hosts, JT Raymond. I'm a little less unhinged than the last episode, joined here with my two brothers, Jack and Joey. Guys, did I go a little crazy that last episode?
Just a hair.
Maybe just a little bit, but it was definitely warranted with how they played.
They certainly played horrible, and I saved up all my energy. I even went to a different part of the house so that I made sure my sleeping kid and my wife would not be disturbed by the ranting and raving. So if you missed that, certainly give that a check out. We're excited that you guys are with us again as we look to break down this upcoming matchup. In our episode today, we're going to be looking at first the Jags offense versus the Falcons defense, followed by our defense versus the Falcons offense. We'll talk about special teams, some of the keys to the game, and then finally our score predictions. This is about a must win as you get, it feels like. Thoughts for the overall game?
Yeah, I mean, if it doesn't turn around for this game, it's going to be a long season. A lot of hanging heads. This is where the rubber meets the road. Too late now to have these, oh, it's still early. It's no longer early. This is where it happens, and they have to perform. Have to.
Agreed. Yeah, this Sunday is a new Sunday. You're in a new city, a new country, and something has to breathe life into the Jaguars because they need to walk away with a W, because if they don't, they stay in the UK, play the Bills, who've been hot the last 2 weeks. And so this is a game that if you're looking ahead, you need to circle right now and get back on the right track for the Jaguars.
And the Falcons are gamey. They're 2-1. They were able to beat Bryce Young in his debut first, and then came back and had a nice comeback win against the Packers by 1 point. Lost to what looks like a pretty solid Lions team now a few weeks into the season. So they're 2-1, certainly better than the Texans, and a very good test for us.
Yeah, this isn't going to be a cakewalk, and they better not take it as some sort of cakewalk, because no team should be a cakewalk for the Jaguars right now. They just lost to the Houston Texans. They need to play every team as if they are trying to get into the playoffs, because they kind of are. So we're going to go ahead and start off with our offense against their defense. How does it look, you guys?
Yeah, I'll say this defense is the second most challenging. So significantly better than the Texans, and I would say a little bit better than the Colts as well. Somewhere around the same neighborhood as the surprisingly good, very good Kansas City Chiefs defense. So you look at some key statistics for this defense. They're middle of the road against the run. They're currently 17th place, give up about 118 yards per game on the ground. But they are really good against the pass, currently in fifth place, only giving up 170 yards per game. And this is another key stat. They are pretty good against opposing offenses on third down, which could mark a lot of trouble because that has been a key problem area for our offense. So this is going to be a test. Our offense is going to go up against another challenging defense, and they better show up. We need to score some points in the UK.
You're exactly right, Jack. I think the Atlanta third down conversion is what jumped out to me. They're a little over 30%. So 3/4 of the time they are making the stops when they need to, from a defensive perspective.
Yeah. And there's two kind of stars on that team that jump out to me. It's that Jesse Bates, the third, he already has 3 interceptions on the year and a forced fumble. Trevor needs to watch out for him and make sure that his throws are on point, kind of keep it away from that safety. And then also we're going to be facing Calais Campbell, who is going to be going up against our crummy kind of offensive line. So we need to watch out for him and make sure that he's not in the backfield eating up Trevor.
You look at the Lions. The Lions played the Chiefs the week before we played the Chiefs. And then the Falcons also just played the Lions the week before. The two guys that had the most success in them for the passing attack was Amon-Ra, who plays that slot position that Kirk plays so often. We said before the Chiefs game that we thought Kirk would have a good game. He certainly did. And Sam Laporta had 8 receptions on 84 yards and a touchdown as well. So I think this is probably going to be a Kirk and Ingram game. It'd be nice to have a sighting of the Calvin Ridley that we saw in the first half of the first game. But even if he's not showing up and Zay is still banged up, you should still expect those two guys to be able to have good games against this Falcons defense.
Yeah, that's a great point, JT. And someone else that I want to see build off some success would be ETN. We talked about this earlier this week when we covered our game against the Texans, that he was really one of the few shining examples from our offense and really from our whole team. He fought hard. He ran hard, broke a lot of tackles, looked really good in the passing attack with 50 receiving yards in the last game, nearly 100 yards on the ground as well. And this is on paper the big opportunity. Even though our offensive line has struggled, the Falcons' weakness is against the run, and ETN is super talented. So I think ETN should have a nice game. If our offense is going to have a comeback game, a game where we can let loose, ETN is going to need to run really well. And hey, we'd love to see Tank get some big games. I don't know how many times we're going to keep saying that, but we'd love to see Tank Bigsby have some good plays as well in this game.
The only way you get Tank having big plays is if you actually have the lead, which we've almost never had, it feels like, the entire season.
Yeah, and that's my thing for this offense right now, is go out there and play as if you're already down 17 points. Don't wait to actually get down 17 points. Come out in a fast offense and get this defense on their back heels in the first two drives. I don't care that it's the beginning of the first quarter. Go out in a two-minute offense. Go punch them in the face. It's okay to go up big early. It's okay to score a touchdown in like 3 plays. We don't need to have these long, drawn-out drives. Go out and get them on their heels fast and make sure that this game's out of the way early.
Agreed. Here is the challenge from all the Jag Bros to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Trevor, Ridley, we know all you guys are listening to this right now. Here's the challenge. First drive, we want to see a touchdown from you guys. No excuses. Go get a touchdown on that first drive. Let's get the lead early and let's hold it for the whole game.
Yeah, the final thing that I would call out, and I think, Joey, you mentioned his name earlier, Calais Campbell. It feels like these NFL players love to have great games against their former teams. I would be surprised if he does not have a great game against this really bad offensive line of the Jags. I think he will probably have a number of pressures, and he'll probably look like the Calais Campbell of old.
That would be sad if that happens, and that'd be heartbreaking because so far Campbell has not done much, only has 3 tackles. We love him as a Jaguars, but he is 37 years old. So if we can't stop a 37-year-old aging defense line, our offense may be in big, big trouble. But let's look now at our defense lining up against the Falcons offense. A lot of weapons to watch out for. And so they do have Kyle Pitts, who is a young 22-year-old tight end. He had an incredible rookie season, over 1,000 yards, but has not looked like the same tight end. Part of that is certainly quarterback play as well, but he's someone you got to make sure that you have him locked down. Drake London is a very talented wide receiver as well from USC 2 years ago in the draft. And then they just added Bijan Robinson this year in the draft, and he has looked explosive already over 200 yards on the ground, averaging about 5.5 yards per carry, has looked very good in the receiving game as well. So you need to tell our linebackers to, hey, lock up Robinson, especially in the pass game, because he has over 100 yards as well. And then, of course, at quarterback, you have Desmond Ridder, who's looked shaky overall, but he's got a lot of talent around him. So what are you guys looking at for our Jaguars defense going up against this Falcons offense?
Yeah, what you could do for this team is just take the name off the jersey of the Falcons, and you could put the Titans in the mid 2010s, and that's pretty similar to what you have here. A quarterback who's not 100% accurate, but is at least capable. You have a couple of dangerous guys on the outside in Pitts and Drake London, as you mentioned, but they primarily want to run the ball. They are going to be lining up with multiple tight end sets. They're going to try to run the ball as much as possible and try to dictate the gameplay here. So they are going to want to control the line of scrimmage. They're going to want to dictate it. Both Algier and Bijan Robinson are both a plus running backs that have had success here in the NFL. They were the number one rushing team last year, and they're on pace to do something similar. And so while the fact that the Jaguars have had some good rushing defense performances so far, or at least okay, we're also going way up in class from the perspective of who the opposing running back is. They will both certainly be the best running backs we've seen to date. And it's going to be a team that's going to be giving us a lot of different looks than what we've seen to date. So it's going to be really interesting to see if Mike Caldwell will be putting extra guys in the box to try to slow down this rushing attack.
Yeah, I totally agree. You got to watch out for this rushing attack, but also watch out for the swing pass that Jack kind of mentioned. Bijan Robinson has been really scary out of the backfield with these passes, already has over 100 yards in the receiving game. And he's getting a lot of yards after the catch with these routes. So don't over exaggerate the run. Make sure you're watching him in the pass game as well.
Yeah. And if you're looking for one area for the Jaguars defense to attack, this to me feels like deja vu, because we mentioned this before the Texans game and it did not happen. But if there's one area for our defense to attack, again, it's going to be pass rush, getting after the quarterback. The Lions tore Ridder apart with 7 sacks. And here's what's crazy. They lost 62 yards on those 7 sacks. And so not only did they sack him, they lost almost 10 yards per sack with those 7 sacks. And so deja vu, Josh Allen, Trayvon Walker, some of our other guys, we need to get after the quarterback. And if we're not getting pressure from the outside, I feel like Caldwell's got to call some blitzes, because this is our big area of attack, is to make some big sacks, have them lose yards significantly, stop drives, and make big plays getting after Ridder.
Yeah, this is going to be a big game for Trayvon Walker, but this is a game that actually should play to his strength, which hasn't really been pass rush, but he has had quite a few tackles for loss on running plays. He's been a lot more of a run stopper than he has been a pass rusher. And so here we are, a team that runs it a lot. And let's see if Trayvon Walker can shut down this Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier. I want to see him with a lot of tackles for losses against this run team. And I don't need to see him get the sacks. I really want to see Josh Allen get the sacks. I want him to shut down this run.
Yeah, so stopping the run is going to be critical, and making sure that Kyle Pitts and Drake London do not beat you over the top, which unfortunately we've already seen the Jaguars give up some big passing plays, especially last week against the Texans where they had 2 plays over 60 yards. So you certainly want to limit those. So let's shift gears now to the keys to the game. So want you guys to give each one key for the offense and one key for the defense, where if we achieve this, we're most likely going to win 99% of the time.
Yeah, I already hinted at this in our last episode, but my offensive key has not changed throughout the week, and it is get Evan Engram the ball. I mentioned this earlier, go back and check that out, but this is key to me. So Evan Engram so far has had 21 targets. He already has 18 catches. So 86% of the time he's targeted, he makes the catch. And so I think he needs to be targeted earlier. So 0 targets last game in the first half. So I want to see multiple targets in the first half. And I want to see him targeted in the red zone specifically. I want to see Engram finish with over 80 yards and a touchdown in this game. And I think that'll help our offense get rolling. And then defensively, again, deja vu, has got to be get after the quarterback, get after Ridder. We need at least 3 sacks to have a shot in this game, but ideally we have 5 to 6 sacks bringing down Ridder for some big losses in this game.
Yeah, my offensive key is very similar to Jack's. with Evan Engram, but I'm going to say what I've been saying all week long is the key for this offense is going to be running a fast-paced two-minute offense, get in the shotgun, and spread the ball out. No more locking on to just Calvin Ridley or just one player. I want to see Trevor surveying the field, get Evan Engram involved early, get Christian Kirk involved early, spread the ball out. We have all this talent, and we talked about in the preseason about there's only one ball going around, but we're not spreading that ball around well enough right now. I want to see a nice even spread of each player getting multiple targets at multiple times of the game. And then my defensive keys would definitely be, I wouldn't be so heavy on the pass rush this week. It's going to be stopping the run. I think if we can hold them to under 60 yards rushing, then we win this game.
If we hold them to 60 yards rushing, I think we 100% win this game. I was going to be a little bit more lenient. I think we need to hold them to 120 or less, and there's a very good chance we can win this game. If they're running for more, then you lose that game more often than you win it at that point. Offensively, you guys hit it twice, saying that early points is going to be important. I think if Jacksonville could score 10 points in the first half, or excuse me, in the first quarter, or at least midway through the second quarter on the first couple of drives, that would be massive. But I'm going to say my key to the game is Jacksonville's third down conversions. So we said that Atlanta's one of the better third down defenses in the league so far. And so, and Jacksonville's not been that productive. In fact, they're one of the bottom five in third down efficiency on offense. And so if Jacksonville could get 40 to 45% on third down, I think we'll be in a place to win this game and potentially win this game comfortably.
Yeah, and then I have actually one more key for the Jaguars. It's not on offense or defense. This is stop shooting yourself in the foot. All these self-inflicted wounds, stop it. Keep the momentum. That's what you did last year, is once you had the momentum, you kept it and you capitalized. What we're doing is starting to get momentum and then fumbling it or shooting ourselves in the foot and giving up a touchdown return kickoff. Like that has to stop. If you cut out these self-inflicted wounds, that'll be another huge key to victory.
Well said, Joey. I feel like it's been one step forward, two or three steps back at times, where we get the turnover against we get back-to-back turnovers against the Chiefs, and we come away with 0 points because we're turning over the ball ourselves, or we're deciding to not go for it on fourth and short, or we're missing a field goal, or getting an untimely penalty to move us from third and short to fourth and long. I think I heard a stat in the broadcast this past week where they said Jacksonville is one of the worst third down offenses, but what's surprising is they're actually top five in distance to go. So that means more often than not, we're in third and short situations and we're just not converting. So this brings us to the scoring predictions. Last week, all three of us were right. In one instance, we thought the game would be a blowout, but we certainly did not see that blowout happening to Jacksonville against the hapless Texans. But maybe we should have, because the Texans have beaten us 9 out of the last 10 times. That being said, Jacksonville has now lost back-to-back games. We go into London, and before the rest of the games kick off at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Joey, what is the final score to the Jaguars versus the Falcons?
I predicted blowouts in almost every game from the offense, and they haven't really been able to do that. So I'm done with that. I am going to say that it is a 27-24 victory for the Jaguars. It's not pretty, it's not clean, but we're able to get it out.
Okay, so before the Jaguars versus Chiefs game, I said that my heart tells me that the Jaguars are going to pull this out, and my head was telling me that we weren't going to be able to make it happen. And in that game, I went with my head and said, the Jaguars don't pull it out against the Chiefs. I feel the same way about this Falcons game. My heart is telling me that the Jaguars are able to right the ship and pull out the win, but my head says that we won't. But this time, I'm going with my heart. The Jaguars pulled out. I agree. I don't think it's going to be pretty. I think it'll be close to the spread, which is about 3 points. I think the Jaguars defense shows up. I think our offense still struggles some, but we pull out the victory. Jacksonville Jaguars 21, Atlanta Falcons 17 in London.
Ooh, scared me there, Jack.
Jack, you might go with your head sometimes and sometimes your heart. I always go with my heart with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And that is why I am predicting a score of 22-19 and the Falcons win the game. That's right. This team stinks, and I'm not picking them again until they prove me wrong, because the Jaguars are about to go 0-2 in London, and we're going to be talking draft by mid-October.
Oh, no. You had me going. I thought you were picking the Jags, and then you turned it on me.
What in what universe have they given you any type of hope that they're going to actually go out and win this type of game? This to me has Bijan Robinson 180 yards written all over it.
I think they come together on this London trip. I think that they need this, and the UK fans of the Jaguars are going to show out and bring a lot of energy. I know the Jags are big over in the UK, and I believe that they're going to pack out the Wembley Stadium, and there's going to be a lot of energy, and that's what the Jaguars need right now, is that energy that the UK fans can bring. I love my fans over across the pond. Bring it for us in the UK.
And if nothing else, hopefully the Falcons just are still in the struggle bus, because they did get blown out, only scored 6 points against the Lions. So hopefully that is a potential another opportunity for the Jaguars to pull home a victory for us.
And that's going to do it here for us. The game is going to be in the UK, as we talked about. It's 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern time. So you got to wake up early. Don't forget. You need to watch our Jaguars and cheer them on to victory. They need our energy. Inject them with positivity right now, because I believe they're down on themselves and they need to bring it back. We don't need to push them down. We need to bring them up and be that fan base and bring home that victory. So you heard it here on the Jag Bros. Split, but victory for the Jags, 2-1. And I believe that they bring it home. So let's get it. Duval.